Well, I was surprised last Sunday to see how many of you came out on Christmas Day to worship, but I got to tell you, I'm pleased today to see how many have come out on New Year's Day. And you're all getting along so well. Two congregations right together, no fights over where anybody's seating. I think it's just great. Way to go, First Baptist. And many of you who are guests with us today, so proud of you. Well, it's 2017. That doesn't sound right, does it? It's going to take us a few weeks to get accustomed to the sound of that, 2017. Time marches on, doesn't it? It's been said that time waits for no man or woman, as the case may be. As Tom made mention a while ago, you're all familiar that Carrie Fisher, one of the stars of the early original Star Wars trilogy, went to be with the Lord, or she passed away Tuesday. I don't know what her relationship with the Lord was. And then her mother, Debbie Reynolds, a bigger star than Carrie Fisher, passed away. Tragedy, great tragedy to all of us. In 2016, I think all of us have lost someone near and dear to us. We've lost regular attenders here in our congregation, members of our congregation, one who sits right back here normally. Clyde Seacats usually sits right there. Went to be with the Lord this last week. But for those of us who follow the Lord, passing of time is not a bad thing. Passing of time is a good thing. And that's the perspective that I want us to have this morning. I want to entitle our study this morning, Hope for the Future. We have good cause. Those of us who follow the Lord, we have good cause for great hope in our future. Now, although we finished our study of the announcement the angel, probably Gabriel, made to the shepherds on Christmas, and we're through with that, I still want us to continue here in Luke chapter 2. So take your Bible and open it to Luke chapter 2. You can download the Bible app. We have all the scripture passages there and the notes. We're going to continue on here in Luke chapter 2, kind of pick up where we left off last week. In an attempt to kind of set the stage for our study this morning, to kind of put our study this morning in context, I want us to read verses 21 through 24 together. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. When the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were finished, that's Mary's purification, and that was 32 days. So what we're looking at here, 8 days for Jesus, 32 days for Mary, so we have 40 days has passed. They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So here we have Mary and Joseph, 40 days after Christmas, bringing Jesus, the baby Jesus, to the temple in Jerusalem. That's kind of the context here this morning. While they're in the temple in Jerusalem, this is what happens. This is the passage we're going to focus on here this morning. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. That's about all we know about him. Looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God and said this, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, You've prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So the surprises just keep on unfolding for Mary and Joseph. This has been a fast and furious month and a half for them. They're coming here into the temple there in Jerusalem, and my goodness, they no sooner walk in the door than we have this man, Simeon, great guy, righteous, it says here, devout, that means devoted to the Lord, walks up to Mary, kind of picture this, walks up to Mary, complete stranger to her, and takes her month-old baby out of her hands. Moms, kind of think about this. You know, kind of think about this. This baby's a month old, a little more than a month old. He takes baby Jesus out of Mary's hands without a word and blesses him and blesses the parents. And they were kind of blown away. There's no end to the surprises this young couple is experiencing here with their baby named Jesus. Now here's the question we want to ask this morning. And really, we should ask this question as we study through Scripture. Here's the question. Why did God include this event in Scripture for us to study here today? He's in control of everything that went in, everything that was left out of Scripture. Why did God include this event with Simeon here in Scripture for us to read here today? What does He want us to see and to learn from this event with Simeon? Well, probably more things than we can list. But I do want us to notice a few things in the limited amount of time we have here this morning. One thing I want to call attention to is that Simeon was aware of past truths. Very aware that God had promised great things in the past. Look at verse 26 again. "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah." So I think it's very clear here that Simeon was aware that God had promised a Messiah. He was mindful of that. I'm not sure everybody was aware of that. But he was. Referring to the Messiah, God said to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. And by the way, I'm sharing this because I think Simeon was aware of this. God, speaking to David, says this, "I will raise up after you your descendant who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." Now, at this point, he may have been talking about Solomon. "He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom." How long? Forever. So we're no longer talking about Solomon. Now we're clearly talking about the Messiah. "Your house and kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever." Forever, forever, forever. So God's talking to David about his descendant being the Messiah. Simeon was aware of this. And then speaking to the village of Bethlehem, God said, Micah chapter 5, beginning of verse 2, "Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you're small among the clans of Judah, but one will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from eternity." God be the Messiah. "He will stand and shepherd them," talking about Israel, "he will stand and shepherd them in the strength of Yahweh," it's the Lord God, "in the majestic name of Yahweh, his God. They," talking about Israel, "will live securely, for then his greatness will extend to the ends of the earth. Clearly, again, talking about Messiah. Many other things said about the Messiah in days of old that Simeon would have been conscious of. So Simeon was aware of this and many other past prophecies. Another truth Simeon knew was that God had shown great faithfulness in the past. What I mean by that is God had always done everything he said he was going to do. Still to this day, God has been faithful. He's to this day, he's done everything, every single thing he said he was going to do. I'm not sure we have this nailed down real well in our lives today. God's been revealing himself to us now for 6,000 years. Every promise he's made that's supposed to have been fulfilled up to this day, every one of them has come true. Every single one of them, and I don't think we have this nailed down. I don't think we have this settled in our hearts and in our minds. God has kept all his promises. Never wavered. This has never changed. From the years of King David, from the years of Simeon, and from our years, God has never changed in this regard. Everything else changes. Do you know there are seven continents on earth? Seven continents. Did you know all of the continents move? They don't stay where they are. Australia moves about 3 inches to the northeast every year. Every year. You say, not a big deal? Well, okay. But now that movement's starting to mess with systems that depend on pinpoint accuracy, like GPS systems, like GPS positioning. Australian GPS was last updated in 1994, and the entire country, the entire continent, has moved more than 5 feet since then. And you say, well, who cares? Uber. Cares. Uber driverless cars that depend on GPS. They're a little bit concerned about their cars picking up people and driving on sidewalks rather than streets. They're a little bit concerned about their cars picking up passengers and driving in the wrong lane, heading into head-on traffic because the GPS is off. Retailers who use drones, are a little bit concerned. They don't want their drones dropping their product on top of people's roofs instead of on the front porch. They don't want their drones dropping products in swimming pools rather than on front porches. That's who cares. Things have changed. So in Australia, GPS is no longer trustworthy. They're in the process of updating it, but oh my goodness, that's a lot of updating. Things have changed. That's not so with God. That's not so with God. God is still trustworthy. He hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He never will move. His promises haven't changed. His promises will never move. What he said yesterday, he still says today. What he says today will always be true tomorrow. Do you understand the significance of this? This is very, very important. You say, who cares? We care. We want to hear what God said 6,000 years ago and know that it still applies today. We want to hear what God said to King David and know that it still applies today. We want to know what God said to Simeon and know that it's still true today. What was true yesterday is still true today. It doesn't have to be updated. We've got people today who are saying, well, we've got to consider the context. No, we don't. God has not been taken off guard by the context. God doesn't have to say to us today, yeah, but your context has changed. You live in a changed world. The continents have moved since I issued that instruction, so therefore we have to update my prophecies. No. God hasn't changed. He never will change. His prophecies haven't changed. Very, very important to know and understand God's past truths. That's why we're so focused on our grow groups, people. That's why it's important for us to get up here and study God's prophecies. That's why it's so important for us to get up here and study God's word. That's why grow groups are important. That's why this time is important. That's why Bible studies are important, is that we need to, always have had a need, to understand past truths. Are you with me? I know this is one of the things that people talk about Baptists and say, oh, you all worship the Bible. No. We worship Jesus. We're just really interested in what Jesus has to say. Because what Jesus has to say never changes. Simeon knew that. We need to know that too. Another thing is, let's consider present triumphs. Boy, we see that here in his life. Standing on the promises God made in the past, Simeon saw those promises triumphantly unfolding before his very eyes. Now, I want to tell you something. He is pumped. Look here, beginning in verse 30. My eyes have seen your salvation. When? Just now. Just now. This couple came in. Just now, I've seen your promises unfolding. My eyes have seen your salvation just now. You've prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. One of the struggles we seem to have in our lives is seeing the hand of God unfolding his triumphs today. Right now, in my life, in your life, in our lives, we can look back at Simeon and say, well, God was fulfilling his great prophecies and promises right then. Well, God's doing the same thing today in your life, in my life. We struggle with this. It's happening all around us. God is unfolding his triumphs in our lives today. Look here, Simeon saying, God, you promised the Messiah. You promised salvation. Now I see your salvation unfolding right here in front of me today. That's what he's saying in those passages. We need to say, God, you've promised salvation. You've made all kinds of promises in Scripture to me. I see your promises unfolding right here in my life today, before my very eyes. I see your promises unfolding right now. Do you say that? Can you say that? God's still doing it. God's still unfolding his promises. We may be too distracted to see God's triumphs. Do you know, according to a CNN article, more than half of us played the lottery in 2016? Maybe not half of us, but half of our culture played the lottery in 2016. You have to ask the question, why are lotteries so popular? Certainly not the odds. You understand, the odds of winning the Powerball grand prize are less than being attacked by a shark. Stay in Pflugerville, you're probably not going to be attacked by a shark. The odds of winning the Powerball grand prize are less than dying from a lightning strike. Hardly any chance at all. The chances of winning a Powerball grand prize are less than a meteor crashing into your house during your life. You know, go figure. There's almost no chance of winning. So why do people play it? Well, here's some experts speculating. Rebecca Hargrove, president of the Tennessee Education Lottery Corporation, says this: for $2, you can spend the day dreaming about what you would do with $500 million. Psychologist Dr. Stephen Goldbart says the lottery appeals to us because, and I quote, it lets you believe in magic, that you'll be the one who spent a little and got a lot, and that the money will give you, I'm still quoting, that the money will give you a respite from the conflict, complexity, and angst of everyday life. Journalist Adam Puer writes, "The lottery is a game where reason and logic are rendered obsolete and dreams are on sale. For $2, you can go to the Jiffy Mart and buy a dream." Some of you are squirming. I don't care. Play the lottery if you want to. As long as you tithe, I don't care what you do with the rest of your money. Spend on whatever you want to spend it on. Just tithe first. Tithe it first. Our culture is too distracted. We'd rather buy a dream for $2 than to focus on the definite of God. We'd rather focus on a dream that all of our financial needs and aspirations are going to be met than to focus on the reality of God. Rather than focusing on the certainty of God unfolding His triumphs in our lives, we'd rather focus on the possible temporary things of the world. So very foolish. The God of the universe, the God of eternity, the God who's made promises which 100% have come true, the God has made promises that have been coming true in people's lives now for 2,000 years, 6,000 years. And rather than focusing on His triumphs in our lives, we'd rather focus on the temporary things of this life. We're so distracted. So distracted. Simeon saw God's promises, His triumphs unfolding right there in his life. Now, I might point out, nobody else did. I take that back in the next passage. We're not going to look at that today. There's a prophetess named Anna, who's very, very elderly. She saw it. But aside from Simeon and Anna, nobody else in all Jerusalem was noticing God's triumph unfolding right there before the very end. And here's my point. Are we seeing that? Are we seeing that? Now, we're not looking for a baby. We're just looking for God's promises unfolding right here in our lives. Asking the question, why did God include in Scripture for us to study this morning this event involving Simeon? One last thing. Let's consider promised tomorrows. Here he'd claimed God's truths as foretold in the past. He'd noticed the unfolding of God's truths right here in his experience. Everybody else oblivious to it. But notice that for Simeon, there was more than a past and a present. Verse 34, he turns his attention to the future. Read this with me, beginning of verse 34. "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul," talking to young Mary, "that the thoughts of many hearers may be revealed." You know, there's no way Simeon could have known these things on his own. God had to reveal them to him. They all came true, by the way. I mean, you can tell as I read that. You can tell all of these came true. But there's no way he could have known these things on his own. Here's the takeaway. With God, there's always a future. For those who love Him, like Simeon did, for those who follow Him, like we claim to do, there's always a tomorrow. There's always a tomorrow. And just like with our yesterdays and our todays, our tomorrows are filled with promises, joyful promises. This is important for us to remember as we begin 2017. You may be depressed. You may be discouraged. You may be frightened. I've already talked to some who are fearful of what lays ahead of them out there in 2017. As we face kind of the official beginning of a new year, 2017, We may be experiencing all kinds of negative things, fearful things, as we look in 2017. Let me just say this to you. God's already there. God's already in 2017. He already lives there. God occupies tomorrow. You're not going into tomorrow alone. God's already there. You're walking into the arms of your Father in 2017. You don't need to be afraid. Don't be afraid. I don't like normally to use movies to point out truths, but bear with me on this. There was a number of years ago, there was a movie entitled The Village by L. Night Shyamalan. For those of you who haven't seen it, let me just kind of quickly summarize it. I'm not going to get all the depths and textures of it, but there's a colonial village. They're surrounded by thick woods, and they fear what's in those woods. They fear this predator that's in the woods, and they're under attack late one night, by these predators in the woods, and everybody's hiding except one of the main characters, whose name is Ivy. She's played by Bryce Dallas Howard. Beautiful young woman. Brave young woman. Totally blind. Completely blind. So while everyone else is hiding, she walks out onto her front porch, and she leans forward, and she puts her hand out in front of her, can't see a thing, puts her hand out in front of her right into the night. She's putting confidence in her fiancé. She's waiting on her fiancé. In the midst of that fear, in the midst of that terror, she trusts her fiancé, and the predator's coming, but yet she leans forward, can't see a thing. She puts her hand out into the night, total confidence in him, and at the last moment, here comes her fiancé running by, grabs her by the hand, and takes her to safety. We may be afraid of 2017. We don't know what's out there. Some of us may have an idea what kind of terror waits out there in the dark. But here's the promise. Even though we can't see it, let's lean in to 2017 and outstretch our hand in confidence and faith and trust in God, our Father, and let's wait until He takes our hand and leads us through it. We know He's going to do it. We know He's there. He's always been there before. He's always going to be there in the future. Let's lean toward that which frightens us into the dark, into the night of 2017, and let's just trust God to be there with His promises tomorrow. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will comfort thee. I will help thee. I will carry thee with my righteous right hand. That's God's promise. Even though we can't see, He's there. He can. 2017 is going to be a strong, victorious, abundant year for one reason only. God is there. Pray with me.